Frightened, he shook his head. They were wearing breathing masks, like I told you, and funny kind of hats. This one, maybe? Fuchs prodded the shoulder of the man he had shot. I don't know, Jimenez whined. Fuchs took a deep breath. All right. Takes the tractors back to our warehouse. Jimenez dashed out into the tunnel, plainly glad to get away. You think you're going to get away with this? The wounded man growled. We're going to break you into little pieces for this. We'll make you watch while we bang your wife. We're going to make her... Fuchs wheeled on him and kicked him in the face, knocking him onto his back. The others scuttled away. Nodon shouted, "Don't move!" and leveled his laser at them. Frenzied with rage, Fuchs rushed to one of the storage bins lining the wall and yanked out a length of copper wire. Tucking his laser back into its belt pouch, he wrapped one end of the wire several times around the groaning, half-conscious man's neck, then dragged him toward the high stacks of shelving, coughing and sputtering blood from his broken teeth. The others watched wide-eyed while Fuchs knotted the wire at the man's throat, then tossed the other end of it around one of the slim steel beams supporting the shelving. He yanked hard on the wire, and the wounded man shot up into the air, eyes bulging, both hands struggling to untie the wire cutting into his neck. He weighed only a few kilos in Ceres's light gravity, but that was enough to slowly squeeze his larynx and cut off his air. Blazing with ferocity, Fuchs whirled on the other HSS men, who sat in the dust, staring at their leader thrashing, choking, his legs kicking, a strangled, gargling, inhuman sound coming from his bleeding mouth. "Watch!" Fuchs roared at them. "Watch! This is what happens to any man who threatens my wife. If any of you even looks at my wife, I'll tear your guts out with my bare hands!" The hanging man's struggles weakened. He lost control of his bladder and bowels in a single burst of stench. Then his arms fell to his sides, and he became still. The men on the floor stared, unmoving, open-mouthed. Even Nodon watched in terrible fascination. "Come," Fuchs said at last. "We're finished here."
Diane Fervoort was in bed with Doric Harbin when her phone buzzed and the wall screen began blinking with "Priority Message" in bright yellow letters. She disentangled herself from him and sat up. "Oh, it's almost 2, he grumbled. "Aren't you ever off duty?" But Diane was already staring at the frightened face of her caller and listening to his breathless, almost incoherent words. Then the screen showed a man, hanging by the neck, eyes bulging, tongue protruding from his mouth like an obscene wad of flesh. "Great God," said Harbin. Fervoort slipped out of bed and began to get dressed. "I'll have to tell Martin about this personally. This isn't the kind of news you relay by phone." She found Humphreys still awake and alone in the big mansion's game room. "We have troubles," she said as she entered the room. He was bent over the pool table, cue in hand. Humphreys had spent many long hours learning how to shoot pool on the moon. The 1/6 gravity did not affect the way the balls rolled or caromed, except subtly. A visitor could play a few rounds and think nothing was different from Earth. That's when Humphreys would offer a friendly wager on the next game. "Troubles," he said, intent on his shot. He made it. The balls clicked and one of the colored ones rolled to a corner pocket and dropped neatly in. Only then did Humphreys straighten up and ask, "What troubles?" "Fuchs raided the warehouse and killed one of the men there. Hanged him." Humphreys' eyes widened. "Hanged him? By the neck?" "The others have quit," Fervoort went on. "They want no part of this fight." He snorted disdainfully. "Cowardly little shits. They were hired to bully people. They never thought that Fuchs would fight back, not like this." "Well, I suppose they expect me to pay for their transport back to Earth," Humphreys groused. "There's more." He turned and stacked his cue in its rack. "Well, what else?" "Fuchs has stolen an astro ship, the Lubbock Lights. He's left Oh, how the hell could he steal a ship? Humphreys demanded angrily. Fervord kept the pool table between them. According to the captain, that same limp spaghetti that allowed Fuchs to commandeer his ship on the way into Ceres? The same man, Fervord replied. He reported to the IAA that half a dozen Asians boarded the ship under the pretense of loading ores. They were armed and took control of the ship. Then Fuchs came up from Ceres with another Oriental, apparently the man who was with him when he was here for the hearing. They packed the captain and regular crew into the shuttlecraft and sent them back down to Ceres.
Son of a bitch, Humphreys said fervently.
By the time the peacekeepers arrived, Fuchs was gone. In one of Pancho's ships. He grinned.
Serves her right.
Fervord pursed her lips, weighing the dangers of antagonizing him further against the pleasures of yanking his chain a little bit. If possession is 9/10 of the law, she said slowly, then it's mostly his ship now. Not Astro's. He glared at her, fuming. She kept her expression noncommittal. A smile now could set off a tantrum, she knew. He stood in angry silence for several long moments, face flushed, gray eyes blazing. Then, so those pansies you hired to clean out Fuchs want to quit, do they?
Actually, Grigor hired them, Fervord said. And yes, they want out. Fuchs made them watch while he hanged their leader.
And Amanda? She went with him?
With a shake of her head, Fervord answered, No, she's still on Ceres. Apparently, Fuchs's people took back most of the items that were looted from their warehouse.
He left her on Ceres? Alone?
Well, he hanged the man because he made some crack about her. Nobody's going to go near her, believe me.
I don't want anybody to go near her, Humphreys snapped. I want her left strictly alone. I've given orders about that.
No one's harmed her. No one's threatened her.
Yeah, until this asshole opened his big mouth in front of Fuchs.
And he strung him up like a common criminal. Humphreys leaned both hands on the rim of the pool table and hung his head. Whether he was overwhelmed with sorrow or anger or the burden of bad news, Fervord could not tell. At last he lifted his head and said crisply, We need someone to go after Fuchs, someone who isn't afraid of a fight.
But nobody knows where he's gone, Fervord said. It's an awfully big area out there in the belt. He's not sending out a tracking beacon. He's not even sending telemetry data. The IAA can't find him.
He'll run out of fuel sooner or later, Humphreys said. He'll have to come back to Ceres.
Maybe, she said uncertainly. Pointing a finger at her as if he were pointing a pistol, Humphreys said,
I want somebody out there who can find him and kill him. I want somebody who knows how to fight and isn't afraid of being shot at.
A professional soldier, Fervord said. Humphreys smiled thinly.
Yes. Like your boy toy.
She had known from the moment she'd heard about Fuchs's actions that it would come down to this.
I agree, she said, keeping her voice even, emotionless. Harbin would be perfect for this task, but she let the word dangle in the air between them.
But, Humphreys snapped, but what?
He'll want to be paid a lot more than he's been getting. He stared at her for a moment.
Are you representing him now? Are you his goddamned agent?
She made herself smile at him.
Well, let's just say that I know him a lot better than I did a couple of weeks ago.
Despite his irritation, Humphreys grinned back at her.
You know him more intimately, eh?
She stopped, smiling, and refused to rise to his bait.
All right. Pack him off to track down Fuchs, and get Amanda on the phone for me.
The distance is too great for real-time conversation, she pointed out.